Let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food. A quote by Hippocrates. Legendary basketball coach John Wooden, who won many consecutive championships for UCLA, and who was considered to be one of the greatest athletic coaches of all time, had a very simple philosophy for success, which had allowed him to win so many consecutive championships, the most out of anybody. And what was so powerful about his philosophy was that it was simple and that it focused on the fundamentals. And what he would do, you might think, to get these kids, these college students, to win all these basketball games is that he would teach them flashy moves, how to dunk and how to do all sorts of fancy stuff out there on the court. But that's the opposite of what he did. He just focused on the stupidly simple things. You know how he would start his students off? He would teach them how to put on their shoes, how to tie their shoelaces, and before even that, he would teach them how to put on their socks. And you might think, oh, but I've been playing basketball ever since high school, and I'm already really good, and now I'm in college, and now I don't need to know how to put on my shoes and tie my shoes and how to put on my socks. That's obvious stuff. Duh, I know how to do that. But what John Wooden would say is he would say, how are you going to win the championship basketball game if you don't know how to tie your shoelaces and you're running and you got 10 seconds left on the clock and you need to score the winning shot and your shoelaces come undone? How are you going to win when your attention is distracted and you're tripping over your shoelaces? Or he would say, how are you going to win the championship game if we need to practice for 5 hours a day, every single day, for months on end, and you put your socks on wrong, such that the seam of the socks isn't properly aligned with your foot and with your shoes, so that after training for 5 hours, you develop blisters and pain, and therefore you don't show up on practice on Monday, and you miss practice. And then you have those blisters for the championship game. How are you going to win? It's the details that matter. So a lot of times when I start talking about very simple things, like in this case, how to shop for healthy food, people tend to dismiss it and say, oh, Leo, but shopping for healthy food, what does this have to do with enlightenment? This is not advanced philosophical knowledge or wisdom or any of this kind of stuff. This is obvious. I already know. But do you really know? Food sets the foundation for health and the foundation for the rest of your life. If you don't have a proper foundation of nutrition, then how can we speak about anything else? How can you meditate properly? How can you work on your addictions? How can you do yoga? How can you do enlightenment work? It's not going to work. Most people have no idea how to shop for healthy food because they've never been taught, because our society doesn't teach these things. In fact, our society doesn't just not teach these things, it does the exact opposite. It teaches you all the wrong things to shop for. And you started learning the wrong things right down to elementary school, through middle school and through high school. You got a 12-year education in how to eat all the wrong foods. And nobody really told you that most modern foods are literally poison. And that food manufacturers and food advertising is highly misleading. And these people and companies, they know that they are selling you poison. And yet every single year, they invest billions of dollars in focus groups and in marketing campaigns to directly target you with poison, getting you to buy more of their poison, addicted to their poison. And then people wonder why they have problems and why they're depressed and why they have ADHD and then they can't meditate and they can't do this and They can't do that. This is one big reason. It's not the only reason. It's a big reason. Because quite simply, food manufacturers and advertisers are literally devils. That's what they are. They are in the business of serving themselves at your expense. And of course, they don't teach you this in school because these very devils have infiltrated the government's nutrition programs. They have actually constructed and engineered the food pyramid and all the recommendations by the government to, in fact, get you to buy more of their poison. That's how clever these devils are. And, of course, there's one other benefit that you'll get from learning how to shop for healthy food besides just your health, and that's never having to worry about your weight ever again. If you follow these guidelines that I'm going to give you, not only will you significantly improve your health and enable yourself to do more of the advanced consciousness work that I want you doing, but you will never have to worry about being too fat, not fitting into your jeans. You won't even have to go to the gym. You'll be able to stay at a good, healthy, slim weight no matter what you eat, as long as you follow these guidelines. So let's talk about this. The key food groups that you need to avoid the most are, brace yourself, wheat, dairy, sugar, corn, soy, and artificial chemicals and sweeteners and coloring agents. These are the big ones. These are the ones that really make a difference. Why? Because these cause allergic reactions in the body and a host of autoimmune diseases. A lot of people aren't aware of this category of diseases called autoimmune diseases. It's actually one of the largest category of diseases. This is not some kind of rare one-off disease. It's extremely prevalent. Over 50 million Americans have an autoimmune disease of one form or another. And the trick with these autoimmune diseases is that there's over 100 different types. They can be very severe or they can be subtle. There are many gradations of them. And many people aren't diagnosed well. So not those 50 million, those are the ones that are diagnosed. Then there are millions more, perhaps just as many million more, who are not properly diagnosed because doctors, generally speaking, don't know how to diagnose these very well. And the cures and treatments for these diseases are also very slim. Science doesn't understand these diseases very well. And that's because most of them are caused by improper diet. And of course, a doctor will tell you everything that you can do, all the medications you can take and all that. But he's not going to tell you how to correct your diet and how to shop for healthy food. The one thing that cures many of these autoimmune diseases. Because that's the root cause. And in fact, just taking medication doesn't cure you of the root cause. The disease will still continue. And that's actually another corruption of the medical system, where these devils come in, and what they do is, of course, you have an autoimmune disease, so what they do is they just give you some drug, and then they force you to take that drug for the rest of your life. And of course, that's perfect from them, from their perspective, because that means you got to show up to the doctor's office for a new prescription every single year, or every 6 months, and you got to buy their expensive medicine. And you got to do that for the rest of your life. That's like an infinite pool of clients. That's 50 million clients to physicians' offices every single year. That's perfect for the doctors. That's perfect for the medical industry. Perfect for hospitals. But it sucks for you. And the reason I'm passionate about this is because I have some autoimmune diseases. And although there's a genetic component, of course, for example, some of my autoimmune diseases, my mom also has. I have hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's, which is related to hypothyroidism. It's when your immune system attacks your thyroid gland. But in general, all autoimmune diseases are like that. It's your immune system overreacting to something. See? What I've discovered is that in my own case, it's my diet. It's because of the terrible, terrible diet that I had that I was growing up with as a kid, because my family knew nothing about nutrition. In fact, it was the exact opposite. I was taught all the wrong stuff about nutrition in my school, through elementary school, through middle school, through high school, through college, And only then did I start to turn this stuff around through a lot of research and education. So even though there is a genetic component, what people don't understand is that the genetic component only gets triggered and actualized by the poor diet, specifically these bad key food groups like wheat, dairy, sugar, corn, soy, and artificial chemicals. See, because your body didn't evolve for those things, when it gets into your body, it starts to wreak havoc with your gut, with your liver, with your immune system, with your brain. And different people have different susceptibility. So some people can tolerate that stuff more than others. And I'm not saying that you're 100% open to autoimmune diseases, but a lot of people are. And these autoimmune diseases, what you got to understand about them is that it's not just an on-off switch, like I either have one or I don't. There's gradations of it. And these allergic reactions that you encounter with things like wheat, dairy, sugar, corn, soy, and artificial chemicals, they are not necessarily always like you go and you start heaving and throwing up, that kind of, you know, classic allergic reaction that we think of. Your body has subtle sensitivities that many people have become so numb to because of the food they eat. They're so unconscious and unaware of what they're putting into their body that they don't even know when their body is sending them the signals that, you know, hey, there's something wrong with the digestion, or there's something wrong with my immune system, or there's something wrong with my energy, which is why we have all these problems which are difficult to treat and difficult to diagnose, like chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, leaky gut syndrome, all this sort of stuff. A lot of that comes from autoimmune diseases, which come from improper diet. And if you take a look at what are the most common diseases that Americans face, for example, heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, hypothyroidism, Hashimoto's disease, celiac disease, cancer, chronic fatigue, leaky gut, ADHD. And a lot of these have to do with your nutrition. A lot more than your doctor will admit to you. Because, hey, you know, if your doctor's like my doctor, he's probably fat. So he doesn't know this stuff either, which is really mind-blowing. But anyways, so that gets you a little bit of an understanding of kind of where we're coming from and why we're going to be avoiding these food groups in some of these lists that I'll be giving you. I'll be giving you a lot of lists here for what not to shop for and for what to shop for. But before we get there, let's talk about the fundamental principles of how to actually select food at the grocery store. I know it sounds basic, but there's actually some valuable insights here that I've learned and I've taught myself. So firstly, ignore the calorie and the fat label on the back of the box. Calorie counting is completely useless and unnecessary. You won't need it with this system that I'm going to give you. Looking at the calories of a food is irrelevant. Looking at the fat content is irrelevant as well. Only look at the list of ingredients on the back of the box. That's one of the few things that the marketing companies can't screw around with too much. They have to actually list all the ingredients on the back of the box. They legally have to. They can't hype that up. They can't fudge the numbers there. And they also have to list them in the order of greatest quantity to lowest quantity. So that helps you to distinguish what you're actually putting into your body. And the key that you want to look for, and the way that you're going to basically select foods at the grocery store, is you're going to look at the back of the box and you're going to ask yourself, how many ingredients are here? And are these natural and whole ingredients, or are these artificial chemical type of ingredients? What you're looking for is you're looking for foods that are 5 ingredients or less per box. Ideally, of course, your food is not even in a box, but let's just say you're going with a box or a can that has that label on it. So if you take a box and you look on the back, if it's something like a frozen pizza, how many ingredients is it going to be on that list? It's going to be over 30 or 50, including a bunch of complicated chemical names, hydrogenated fats, trans fats, oils, and all sorts of weird stuff that really you would think belongs in a chemistry class more than it does in your stomach. So what you're going to be looking for is 5 ingredients or less, and all of them need to make sense to you. So if it says it's got carrots and broccoli and some salt and pepper and oil, okay, that's good. That's fine. But if it's got a bunch of other stuff in it, like take a look, for example, at your typical carton of ice cream and look at all the ingredients. It's not just going to be sugar and milk and some chocolate flavoring. You know, that would be a high quality ice cream. I mean, ice cream is a problem. You want to avoid ice cream. But that would be a high quality ice cream because it only has three ingredients. You see, it doesn't have a bunch of preservatives and this and that and God knows what else they stick in there. But if you take a look at your standard cheap carton of ice cream that you find at Walmart, it's going to have like 30 ingredients, half of them all sorts of chemical stuff. So that's the one you definitely want to avoid. Next principle I have for you is never assume that an item is healthy just by looking at the front of the box. You always have to read the ingredient list. So when I'm in the store and I'm looking for a new item that I never bought before, I'm always double checking the ingredient list because a lot of times you pick up a bag of chips or you pick up a can of fruit or something and you think, oh, this must be healthy. You know, it's just potatoes or it's just like broccoli in a can. But then you flip it around, you look at it, you know, what's actually there? And you see all sorts of weird stuff that shouldn't be there. And you'll notice that the higher quality the can, the more expensive it'll be, the fewer ingredients it'll have. Whereas the low quality stuff will have more ingredients because they need to pack in a bunch of preservatives to preserve that stuff. So the reason that can is cheaper is because it can stay on the shelf for like 3 years. And why can it do that? Because they've packed it full of chemicals. So these food manufacturers are strongly incentivized to make food that lasts as long as humanly possible. Long shelf life, which is the exact opposite of what you want. You want food that deteriorates very quickly. Food that lasts less than a week. That's raw, fresh, alive food, or as close to that as you can get. And, you know, if you can keep food in your pantry for 3 years and it's still good, it's probably not good food to begin with. Here are a few more principles. Avoid all hydrogenated fats and oils. If it's a complicated oil, if it's not a natural sounding oil like olive oil or coconut oil, avocado oil, something like that, then it's probably one of these chemistry created oils. These oils are very unhealthy. Avoid sugar and corn syrup. And you'll be shocked to discover when you start to actually look at the ingredient labels that probably 80% of all items in the supermarket contain corn syrup or sugar in them in large quantities. So look out for that. Avoid those. Avoid, generally speaking, all boxed and processed foods. If your food comes in a box, it's probably not very high quality. If it comes in a can, that's borderline. You can buy stuff in cans, but generally what you're looking for is you're looking for fresh stuff. Avoid complex preservatives and coloring agents. Your food should not have any coloring agents in them. Avoid cheap meat and eggs. And as a rule of thumb, what you're shooting for is you're looking for stuff that's as close to alive as possible, plant-based as much as possible, lots of pigments. Plants contain those different colors and pigments, which are good for fighting cancer cells and overcoming aging. They act as enzymes and they repair your body. Look for organic as much as possible. Go for least cooked as much as possible and single ingredients as much as possible. Here's a list of labels which these advertising companies love to use to try to trick you into thinking that their food is healthy. See, because in the last 10, 20 years, there's been sort of a health food movement afoot, and you got stores like Whole Foods opening up and becoming very popular. And so these manufacturers of food who used to manufacture really low-quality food, now they're getting a little bit scared because people are now shopping for low fat, low sugar, all this sort of stuff, you see, but they still don't want to sacrifice their profits and they still don't want to actually offer you healthy food. So what they do instead is they resort to all these devilish tricks to get you to think that their food is actually healthy and good for you. So here are the misleading labels, which are completely meaningless. Cage free. That's a meaningless label. Vegetarian fed. That's a meaningless label. A lot of times they'll put these on cartons of eggs and say, oh, it's cage free and it's vegetarian fed. And then you read that and say, oh, these must be good organic like eggs. No, they're actually not organic. And what that vegetarian fed means is that they actually pack these chickens full of corn. That's what they feed them is corn. Corn is vegetarian, but that's not what chickens should be eating. Also, what they like to do is they like to slap on the label antibiotic-free and hormone-free, as if that actually has any significance whatsoever. It's illegal to actually put antibiotics or hormones into chickens, into chicken eggs, and into, I believe, most cattle in the United States. That's actually against the law. So saying that your meat or your eggs are antibiotic-free or hormone-free, that's like saying nothing. That's the bare minimum. That's sort of like having a pizza box, a frozen pizza box, and saying it's poison free. Yeah, no shit. It should be poison free, but that doesn't mean that it's healthy just because it's poison free, cyanide free. Okay, yeah, it's cyanide free, but so what? I'm expecting something a little bit more than just cyanide free from my food. Also, the label all natural. They'd love to use that label. It's completely meaningless. It's completely unregulated. You could slap that label onto almost any food. There's no government controls over that label. No trans fats is often also very misleading, because what no trans fats actually means is that it has to be below a certain percentage of trans fats. So what they can do is they can fudge the numbers with the portion sizes. They can reduce the portion sizes such that as long as there's like less than some microgram amount or some milligram amount of trans fats, then they can actually claim no trans fats, when in fact there actually are trans fats in the food. It's completely misleading. So to completely avoid trans fats, what you have to do is you can't trust that label. You have to actually look at the ingredient list and check it for trans fats, because they might still be there, even though the front of the box says no trans fats in big fat letters. Also, watch out for the labels fat-free and low-fat. These are quite meaningless because fat is actually not a problem. There's no problem with eating fat. Fat is healthy for you. And the label low-calorie and sugar-free, these are also misleading labels because they know that people are shopping counting calories, so they think, oh, if I just say it's low-calorie or sugar-free, that means people will think it's healthy. And then, of course, to make it taste good and sell well, they'll pack it full of other chemicals, other crap that isn't good for you. Same thing with fat-free and low-fat. You see, they think that people are walking around trying to avoid fat. They think fat makes them fat. So they say, oh, this is fat-free. And sure, maybe it is fat-free, but then it's got all this other crap in it. Like it's got a bunch of sugar in it. Sugar isn't fat, but you don't want to be eating a lot of sugar. So watch out for all these labels. Here are the meaningful labels that you can actually rely on. If it says organic, especially USDA certified organic, that's really good because that is actually enforced by the government. That's checked and maintained, and you do want to buy as much organic food as possible. Grass-fed and pasture-raised, these are good labels, and they actually do mean something. It means that the animal was actually raised on some kind of pasture or grass, the way that it naturally should be. Look for grass-fed and pasture-raised eggs and meat. Vegan is a good label if you're trying to avoid meat and animal products. Dairy-free, gluten-free, soy-free, these can be trusted. Although, of course, remember that just because something is gluten-free doesn't mean it's healthy, or just because it's dairy-free doesn't mean that it's healthy. That's just one piece of the larger puzzle that you need to be watching out for. But it's good, for example, when you're looking at a product and you know you're trying to avoid dairy or gluten and you see that label that it's dairy and gluten-free, that's good because then you can at least know that it fits that criteria for you. And the last label is non-GMO. That's also one that actually has some meaning behind it. So that's the good list. Now let's move on to all the stuff that you should never buy again in the grocery store. brace yourself for this one. So here are all the categories. A lot of this stuff, if you've never studied nutrition before, and if you're eating the standard American diet, you are going to be quite outraged at this list that I'm putting forth. But this is it. This is what's going to make you healthy. Never again should you ever buy soda of any kind or vitamin water. Never again should you buy pasteurized fruit juice, which basically includes all fruit juice that's not in the refrigerated section. Pasteurized fruit juice is all the bottled, both glass and plastic bottled, and boxed and bagged juice that you find on the shelves. This is the kind of juice that can stand on a shelf for a year, and then you can still drink it. And the reason it can do that is because it's been pasteurized. Pasteurized means it's been cooked at high heat, which destroys a lot of the whole value of the juice. So if you're going to be going for fruit and vegetable juices, make sure you're getting raw, cold juice, which has not been pasteurized. And usually it has a very short shelf life. It only lasts in a refrigerator for a couple of days, a week maximum. And even then, you should go light on the fruit juices because they contain a lot of calories. Here's perhaps the worst category of all, which is no bread of any kind. I haven't eaten bread for the last 2 years at all. And not just bread, but all wheat-containing products. Wheat is the number one culprit and cause of all autoimmune diseases and chronic fatigue and leaky gut syndrome. Because what people don't understand about wheat is that modern wheat is both genetically engineered, but also it was artificially bred even before it was genetically engineered in the early 20th century. It was artificially bred to be pest resistant so that manufacturers could grow tons of this wheat at a very high yield at very low costs, because wheat provides most of the calorie intake for most human beings on the whole planet. So what happened is that they created and they artificially bred these very highly resistant forms of wheat, which are covered by this coating, which is very difficult for pests to penetrate. So that's good as far as pests go. Doesn't ruin the crop, but it's terrible for your stomach because your stomach has not evolved to digest these newly bred forms of wheat. And so because of this, what happens is that you eat the wheat with almost every meal, and it just becomes this chronic feeding of these undigestible wheat molecules into your gut, and then they go through the lining in your gut, and then your immune system actually has to be constantly fighting this wheat that you're pumping into your body because your stomach certainly can't digest it. And then this leads to all sorts of problems from then on. That's what activates these autoimmune diseases. A lot of autoimmune diseases can simply be cured by cutting out all wheat from your diet. So what I highly recommend for you, if you're really into consciousness work and you care about your health, bite the bullet and ditch all bread and all wheat from your diet. Also, of course, that means you have to avoid everything in the bakery aisle, which includes all pastries, pies, cakes, cookies, muffins, bagels, donuts, and so forth, croissants. Also, of course, this includes pasta and cereal. So what we're doing here is we're cutting out some very major food groups, as you can see. On the one hand, this might sound depressing, and it might sound difficult to do. But on the other hand, you can see that this is a big change. And you'll see the list of positive stuff that I'll give you after we complete the list of stuff to avoid is going to be a lot of very healthy food. And you can see how that will make a big difference in your nutrition. And also, what should hearten you from this discussion about wheat is that actually wheat is the single largest contributor to obesity and to fat. If you're fat, it's primarily because you eat so much wheat. When you stop eating wheat, it'll be very, very difficult for you to put on weight, no matter how much of it you eat, as long as you also avoid lots of sugar. The next huge category is dairy. I recommend that you cut out all dairy. Dairy contains various proteins in it like casein, to which many people are sensitive and allergic without knowing. And I'm not just talking about lactose intolerance. For example, I'm not lactose intolerant. I've ate dairy for most of my life, although I haven't for about the last year or two. I've cut it out entirely. And it's huge. It's huge because these autoimmune diseases are also triggered by dairy. Most of the dairy that people consume is very low quality, pasteurized dairy. And acne, for example, I used to have a lot of acne, completely went away after I eliminated dairy. So, of course, the dairy category includes not only milk, but also all the stuff you love, like cheese, ice cream, yogurt, butter, sour cream, and, of course, all the products that use that, such as pizza. Of course, you should have eliminated pizza already because it's bread, mostly bread, but it's a bad combination of bread and also cheese, dairy. You should also specifically avoid sweetened yogurts. Those are particularly nasty. You got chemicals and artificial sweeteners in them. You should also avoid all corn products as much as possible. A lot of corn is genetically modified and also difficult to digest. It just has very low nutritional content overall. Also, soy products. People think soy is healthy. There's nothing particularly healthy about soy. In fact, soy can also cause allergic reactions in your body. And for men, soy can be problematic because it actually puts too much estrogen hormones into your body because that comes from soy as well. So all soy products, basically, I avoid. And of course, that includes even soy sauce. And soy sauce is problematic not because just it contains soy, but also it contains wheat. You should also avoid all pre-made meals such as Lunchables, rice mixes, potato mixes, all the kind of stuff you find in boxes there in the grocery store. Also, of course, avoid all frozen meals such as TV dinners, frozen pizzas, Hot Pockets, pot pies, and all this sort of frozen stuff that's available there. Completely avoid all that. Avoid all chips. Avoid all deli meat like salamis and hams. All canned meat, bacon, and sausage, and all other kinds of processed meats. Avoid frozen desserts like ice cream, pies, cakes. Avoid store-made sandwiches and wraps and pasta salad, of course, because that's all wheat, and usually it's the lowest quality of ingredients that you can find. All the store-made sandwiches and stuff like that, you think they're using high-quality organic ingredients in that? No, they're using the cheapest possible stuff in there. Avoid all salad dressings. Pre-made salad dressings. Stuff that you find in bottles on the shelves. Of course, it contains a lot of preservatives. And also, most salad dressings also contain dairy. Stuff like ranch dressing and so on. Make your own salad dressings using olive oil, vinegar, and lemon juice, and spices, and that kind of stuff. Avoid dried soups and noodles, like ramen noodles. Those are terrible for you. Avoid Heinz ketchup. It contains a bunch of sugar in it. Avoid barbecue sauces. It also contains lots of sugar. Avoid whey protein. Whey protein also, in addition to casein, is one of those molecules which is difficult to digest, and many people have problems digesting it, which is why if you do consume whey protein in your protein shakes or workout supplements, which I used to take a lot of, then you know you get a lot of acne from that. And now you know why. It's because of the whey. Your body can't process it. And it's not just that you're having acne and doesn't look good. It's also what's going on the inside. Not only are you getting acne on the outside, on the inside, what's happening is that your immune system is struggling to fight all this stuff. And it's sapping your energy and causing diseases. Avoid protein bars and protein shakes. Those are often advertised as being healthy, but literally what most protein bars are is just candy. It's like a Snickers bar, except they put a little bit of protein powder into it, which isn't good for you to begin with. And then they put all sorts of chemicals and sugar, packed with sugar in there. Same thing with all those shakes. Avoid Atlantic salmon, tuna, swordfish, and mackerel. These big fish are often contaminated with heavy metals like mercury. Avoid farmed fish because most farmed fish are, of course, fed corn. So they're corn-fed fish. This one I'm a little bit more lenient on. So if you need to buy some seafood that's farm-raised, then that's all right. It's not the end of the world. But try to avoid it and go for wild fish whenever it's available. Avoid canned tuna. That contains a lot of mercury in it. Avoid coffee. Avoid alcohol. Never again buy candy or milk chocolate. Don't buy safflower oil, canola oil, or oil sprays, that kind of PAM spray that you spray on your pan. It's completely unnecessary, and it contains all sorts of artificial oils and hydrogenated fats that are bad for you. Avoid butter substitutes, like healthy, smart, balanced butter, and I can't believe it's not butter and margarine. This is all terrible stuff. Just use healthy olive oil or some other kind of oil for that. Avoid sugar, of course, and artificial sweeteners like Splenda and aspartame and all that kind of stuff. Avoid corn-fed meat and avoid corn-fed or vegetarian-fed eggs. So that's my list of all the stuff you should never buy again. Here's a list of all the aisles in the grocery store that really you should never visit again in your entire life. The candy aisle, you have no business being there. The deli meat aisle. The cheese aisle, the soda and juice aisle, the bread and bakery aisle, the cereal aisle, the chips aisle, the alcohol aisle, and the protein bar aisle. All of these aisles, if you never went to again in your entire life, you would be very well served. And I almost never go to these. So that's the bad news. Here's the good news. Here's what you can actually buy. Fresh fruits and veggies. This is a huge category. You should be shopping in this category a lot. There's a lot of different fresh fruits and veggies that you can eat. Almost all of them are healthy for you. Frozen fruits and veggies. These are also really good. I like to rely on frozen fruits and veggies because they can store nice and well in my freezer. Just make sure to buy organic as much as possible and to wash them very well if it's fresh. If it's frozen, of course, you're not going to be washing them, which is especially why I buy frozen stuff as organic as much as possible. Pre-washed salad mix is very good, although you're wasting some plastic there for the environment. It's not that good, but as far as saving you time, it's quite convenient. 100% pure canned fruits and vegetables. These can be all right. They're not ideal, but you do need some options for storing food, so this is probably the best way to do it. Just make sure that they don't have too many artificial preservatives in there, and also watch out that they're not filled with sugar. For example, a lot of canned fruits are really just packed with sugar, so you want to find canned fruits that are very low on sugar or no sugar at all. Fresh cold juices, these can be good, like I mentioned before. Fresh or frozen meat, especially as much as possible organic and grass-fed, those are good. If you're into meat, if you're not into meat, if you're a vegetarian or a vegan, well, then you're going to skip this category. Pure nuts is another good category. All kinds of nuts, almonds, walnuts, and pistachios and so forth. What I mean, though, by pure nuts, though, is be careful not to buy nuts in those kind of nut mixes, which contain sugar. And there's also like candy coated nuts, which people might consider nuts. These aren't nuts. This is candy or sugar coated or honey coated. No. What I mean by nuts is just either raw or roasted with as little salt as possible. Nut butters can also be good, like almonds or hazelnut butter. Peanut butter, I guess, is all right, although I think peanuts can cause reactions, so I usually stay away from peanuts. Depends, of course, on you. You can also buy organic pasture-raised eggs. They're more expensive, but they're higher quality. Of course, spices are pretty much all good. Vinegar is okay. Hot sauce is okay. Mustard, real ketchup, not Heinz ketchup, but other kinds of ketchup which contain lower quantities of sugar. You can even find sugar-free ketchup, which tastes actually much better than Heinz. So these are like all your condiments. Spices, you want to buy organic spices as much as possible. As far as oils, the best oils you can buy are olive oil, coconut oil, avocado oil, flax oil, and sesame oil. Seaweed can be good. Olives, pickles, capers, sauerkraut, hummus, you can buy these. You can buy kombucha. Almond milk and coconut milk are great substitutes for any kind of dairy that needs to be used in smoothies or in dairy recipes. You can even buy almond milk or coconut milk ice cream if you want to get a little bit of ice cream into your diet sometimes. That's good. As far as the kind of grains that you can eat, gluten-free oatmeal is all right. Quinoa is all right. Rice and beans are all right. Meat and vegetable stocks in cans or in boxed cartons, these are okay. Although, of course, ideally you'd make your own stock, but just for convenience, yeah, you can get it in a can. Try to get cans that are BPA-free. Wild seafood, as much as possible, make it wild rather than farm-raised. Sardines, certain versions of sardines can be pretty good. Coconut yogurt is a good substitute for yogurt, if that's what you want, for dairy yogurt. Dark chocolate, if it's 80% or higher, that's all right within moderation because it still contains quite a bit of sugar. You can buy raw honey if you need a sweetener of some kind, like a sweetener for your tea or a sweetener for some kind of dessert recipe that you're making or to scratch that sweet tooth that you have. Spring water, sparkling water is all right. Unsweetened tea is all right. Green tea is good. And as far as buying pre-made food at the stores, sushi is good if you're into that, and whole roasted chicken. Because usually they don't screw around too much with the whole roasted chicken. You just buy one of those. So that's my list of the good stuff. Of course, it's much smaller than the other list. And you can see that now you're working with limitations here. And perhaps the biggest limitation is where you can go as far as restaurants and what you can eat out. Because if you apply this list that I gave you of stuff you can't eat, then basically that eliminates like 95% of all of your restaurant options. If you go to a typical restaurant, you look at their menu, 95% of their stuff will contain either dairy or gluten or corn or sugar or a combination of all of the above. So this basically means that you need to cook most of your meals at home. So get good at doing that, perfect that process, and then actually it'll be quite efficient for you. Now, I know this might sound depressing and even impossible to follow the list that I gave you, but let me assure you that it certainly is possible. It just requires vision and purpose for why you're doing it, not just for a quick little rapid weight loss. And this requires a commitment to healthy living. And also it requires a gradual transition. This is not something that you do in a week or in a month or even in a year. I've been transitioning my diet probably for the last 10 years to fit these lists that I've given you. And at this point in my life, it's pretty effortless to sustain. I feel pretty good about the food that I eat. I can eat any quantity of food that I want. I don't limit myself in quantity at all. The food that I eat, I love. It tastes really good. And it's great. I feel all the conditions that were worsening with my old diet, that those have been kind of stopped dead in their tracks, and that I've prevented a lot of worsening of my conditions that could have happened otherwise. Of course, a mistake would be to try to be 100% perfect in following all these lists. You don't need to be 100% perfect. Aim for about 80% of the time that you're able to execute on this, and then leave yourself some wiggle room, 20%, for when you need to go to a restaurant with your friends or when you're traveling in the airport. They don't have a lot of options, so you grab something that's not as healthy. Although, you know, like these days, I eat about probably 90% plus within these guidelines that I'm giving you. and then maybe 10% of the time I eat something that I shouldn't eat. Although I'm really, really strict with avoiding wheat and dairy. Like I never touched those. I haven't touched those in a couple of years. And I have made a commitment that I never will for the rest of my life. I'm never going to eat a piece of bread for the rest of my life. And I've made peace with that. Same thing with dairy. I told myself I'm never going to eat another piece of cake or some dairy ice cream again in my entire life. And that's the hardest challenge here, is to kind of like to accept the shock of that. The first time you try to think even of making that commitment, it's like, oh, damn, that's going to be impossible. It's like, oh, man, I'm giving up so much, all my favorite food. I'm never going to eat a piece of pizza again. I'm never going to eat ice cream again. I'm never going to eat a croissant again or a donut again. And at first, it seems kind of depressing. It's like, oh, I'm limiting myself so much. Why should I be so strict with myself? But actually, as you start to implement this, you start to see the benefits in terms of your energy, in terms of your ability with your consciousness and what you can do, especially if you're doing yoga or you're doing meditation or self-inquiry practice, and maybe you're taking psychedelics. And then you see just how much better you feel from eliminating these offenders, these worst offenders from your diet. I would say start very slow with this transition and work on eliminating the worst offenders, which is the category of wheat and dairy. Those are the two worst by far. If you can ditch those two right there, that's huge. And also, if you can ditch all soda, all desserts, all coffee, all sugar, and all boxed foods, this will be huge. And then if you can change all of your vegetables and all of your meat to be organic, that will be huge. So what I recommend is that you kind of pick and choose, divide and conquer, because you can't do all of this at once. You're very likely to succumb to peer pressure and to your hunger and your cravings. So I would say, you know, work for a couple of months just to eliminate dairy, then maybe work for a couple more months to eliminate wheat, and then soda and sugar, and just kind of like divide and conquer like that. And then over the next, let's say, 5 years, you're going to be implementing this plan gradually, slowly. It's a long-term process requiring vision. You see, the vision is like, why are you doing this? Because you really care about your health. You care about your energy levels. You care about the quality of your consciousness and how conscious you're able to be throughout your entire day. You don't like feeling groggy or sleepy or needing to take a nap. And you don't like dealing with acne, and you don't like dealing with all the autoimmune issues that you're going to get. You don't like being fat, all that sort of stuff. But really, you need to do it not for negative reasons, but really for positive reasons. For me, the positive reasons are that I've committed my life to the pursuit of consciousness, and I just know the huge difference this makes in my ability to be conscious. For example, wheat. Wheat makes me very groggy and very sleepy all the time that I eat it, and it just sends me into these spirals of unconsciousness, which I've had so many of those that I'm sick and tired of them, that I would rather never eat wheat again than go down those spirals again. So you got to reach that kind of point in your own life. As far as eating out at restaurants, you're probably not going to be doing that nearly as much anymore. You can still eat out at restaurants. You just got to find the right restaurants and the right items on their menus that you can still eat. But yeah, generally restaurants are bad because the kind of ingredients that they're serving, you just think about it, it's going to be the lowest quality ingredients. It's definitely not going to be organic. And they are in a position where they are incentivized to serve you the cheapest possible eggs, bacon, meat, and every other kind of item that you could have on your plate. It's going to be the cheapest thing that they could have found, that they could have sold you without you looking at it and sending it back to them, basically. So be very, very suspicious of restaurant food, even if it's an expensive restaurant. You think that a great steakhouse, which is serving you a $50 steak, is serving you an organic steak? No, of course not. Of course not. They're serving you the cheapest steak they can get away with and still maintain their status as a expensive steak restaurant. As far as traveling goes, that's a little tricky. You want to develop some solutions and some options for how to prepare snacks for yourself when you're at the airport, because the airport has notoriously low quality food. So whenever I go to the airport, usually I cut up a bunch of apples and strawberries and fruits and bananas and stuff like that, and I make myself a little pack of snacks, which holds me over until I get to my destination. So you got to be able to plan that ahead. So you can definitely find solutions for that. Maybe take some almond butter with you, you know, high energy snacks, maybe some dark chocolate, stuff like that. Those are usually very portable and high in calories. So that's basically my list for you. That's all the guidelines. The good news is that you can eat all these healthy foods that I talk about in unlimited quantities. Knock yourself out. What you'll notice is that you'll never get fat. I actually haven't gone to the gym in about a year and a half. Until then, I went to the gym every single day pretty much, or at least five times a week for about 10 years straight. And then I just got tired of it and I stopped because I felt like actually I needed to recover because I was working out too much. And also I got into consciousness work, so I wanted to focus my time on that. So I haven't been going to the gym lately, and I know that I need to be, so I will be doing that in the future. I'm going to kind of work that back into my routine and into my schedule. But what has been very interesting to me is that I used to be 65 pounds overweight until I started going to the gym. And I thought that it's going to the gym that's going to make me slimmer, but actually not so much. What made me slimmer is changing my diet. That's what really mattered the most. And I've been able to keep my weight exactly as it is, whether I'm going to the gym or not going to the gym, it doesn't matter. I'm always slim. In fact, people call me skinny now. Because I eat foods that are almost impossible to make me fat. Because all the stuff that makes you fat, I've eliminated from my diet. The sugar, the dairy, the wheat. So what's left? Fruits and meats? You're not going to get fat on fruits and meats. So that's one of the upsides here. You're never going to have to step on a scale again. You're never going to have to worry about your belly again. For the rest of your life, that's a pretty cool trade-off. Because, you know, a lot of people waste so much emotional energy worrying about how they look. And I know that I used to do that a lot, too. I used to worry every single week and be like, oh, I'm getting a little bit fatter. I got to like trim down. I got to stop eating the ice cream, stop eating the bread, stop eating the pizza, you know. And then it would always be this game, this sort of yo-yo of like back and forth and back and forth. One week I would abstain from pizza because I thought I was getting a little too fat. And then a month later, I slimmed down a little bit more again, fitting into my pants. It's like, okay, now I can eat a little bit more pizza. And so I go eat the pizza and I pig out on pizza. And then it's like, again, next week, I'm too fat. I don't like it. I feel bad about myself. So it's just because it's constant, never-ending cycle. And eventually you just get sick and tired of it because you know the cycle is going to continue for the rest of your life until you make these systemic changes to your nutrition. Yes, this kind of diet will cost more. It'll probably cost you I would say 50% to 100% more. So your expenses for food might double. You know, if you've been eating ramen noodles and crappy sandwiches and stuff, very cheap eggs and meat, then yeah, your food costs might double. But here's how you got to reframe that. You got to reframe this as a long-term investment. First of all, you're going to save on healthcare down the road. You're going to save on medicines. Guaranteed, you're going to save on medicines if you make these changes. And you'll save thousands of dollars. You're going to save money on health insurance fees. You're going to save money on your doctor's fees. But also, of course, you're going to have more energy. You're going to feel better. You're going to be more motivated. You're going to be more conscious. So how much is that worth to you? To me, that's worth it. Now, of course, depending on your budget, I have a pretty good budget. So for me, if I double my food budget, it doesn't really make that big of a difference. I know people out there who are tight with money. So of course, for them, that'll make a huge difference. And maybe you can't even afford that. If you're a college student, maybe you can't afford that. You're on a tight budget. Well, you can still find options. So in that case, maybe you want to avoid the expensive organic fruits and vegetables. Maybe you want to buy inorganic for now until you get a better job and change that situation. But ultimately, you want to reframe this as an investment in yourself. And here's another way to reframe it. Think of it this way. Your grandparents, they ate 100% organic food because 80 years ago, There was no inorganic food. It was all pretty much organic food. What's happened in the last 50 years in the food industry has been really shocking and remarkable. All these chemicals, all these shortcuts have been taken by all these food manufacturers and farmers. Every possible shortcut, every possible way to slice every penny off of all food costs. And this might seem like a great thing because now food is more affordable. But also the problem is that your grandparents, if you actually do the math, they would spend a pretty significant chunk of their entire monthly salary just on food. Whereas today we spend a much less, so we have more discretionary spending. But the problem, of course, is that people waste their discretionary spending on all sorts of stupid stuff. They buy all sorts of stuff they don't really need. But the one thing they really do need, which is good nutrition, they don't provide to themselves, because before that was automatic. In your grandparents' days, all they had to do was just like raise chickens and cows and some apples, pick apples off a tree, and it was fine. They could eat that stuff, and it was all organic and grass-fed and great. But today, you got to pay for that. That's no longer automatic. You don't get that at the restaurant. You don't get that at McDonald's. And you don't get it in your basic grocery store. You got to like find the better grocery stores, which cater to people who actually care about their health and their consciousness. So yes, it costs a little bit more, but still, in the overall picture, it's still going to be cheaper than it was for your grandparents. Food is still relatively inexpensive in our society, which is one of the luxuries of modern society, is that it has become more and more affordable compared to in the past. But there is the danger in that you take it for granted and you go for the cheapest stuff and you try to save every single penny. And in the end, you end up shooting yourself in the foot. And in the end, it'll cost you much more in the long run. Think about how much more you're going to accomplish at your job, how many more promotions you're going to get, how much better you're going to be at following your life purpose, at running your business, at not being sick, if you put this diet into place. That will pay for itself in the years to come. And you're going to need some new recipes. Maybe half a dozen to a dozen new recipes, solid ones that you can rely on every single week, that use healthy ingredients, that are quick to cook up, don't take a lot of time and hassle, and that store pretty well in your refrigerator, and you can heat it up and then eat it all week long. I've already shared some of those recipes with you in the past. I've shared my soup recipe. I've shared some recipes for smoothies and salads. And in the future, I'll continue to probably share more of those as I develop more myself, because these days I cook a lot more at home. And as a result, I have to get more creative with the recipes, because otherwise I get bored of them. So I'm always on the lookout for new, healthy, quick, efficient recipes that store well in my fridge. So that's basically it. I hope you can see the benefits of this. This is something that you really need to strategize about and slowly and methodically put into place in your life. If you're a college student, this is especially important for you. If you're in high school, I know a lot of people watch me who are even younger than college students. If you're in high school, this is especially important. It's really hard for me to emphasize just how much health will become a nuisance for you if you don't get your nutrition right. When you're young, when you're under 25 years old, you can more or less take it for granted and still come out unscathed. After you get into your 30s, that's not going to fly anymore. All that shit will come back to haunt you, and watch out. It could really be a major obstacle in your ability to self-actualize, to run your career, to run your business, to follow your life purpose. So just ask yourself, do you really want to take that risk? Or are you willing to sacrifice pizzas so that you never have to worry about this risk anymore in your life? I think that's a pretty good trade-off. I've sacrificed pizza long. I don't know when the last time was that I ate a pizza. Years, probably 5 years or more that I've eaten a slice of pizza. And it's all right. You get used to it. You find other tasty recipes, and then really you don't think about it ever again. I don't have to hold myself back. it's not like I'm walking through the grocery store. It's like, oh, pizza. I want a slice of pizza. Rarely, very, very rarely I might get that. But then I just quickly throw it out of my mind and I don't really give into it. Because there's a larger vision at work. So that's what you need to pull this off. All right, I'm done here. Please click like button for me. Share this with a friend and come look at actualize.org. That's my website. I've got the blog there, the forum there, the life purpose course there, the book list. I have some nutrition books on my book list that are worthwhile for you to read. And actually, I do recommend that you read a dozen or so different nutrition books so that the medical literature and all the anecdotes that you read from those nutrition books, they can penetrate into your mind and they can really shock you into like, oh shit, I'm really headed for a catastrophe if I don't take care of this. And if you're like me, then maybe you've already had a few of those catastrophes. Maybe you already have a few of these diseases, some autoimmune disease, some hypothyroid thing, or some arthritis thing or whatever. Well, this is your chance to actually take those and sort of Aikido your weaknesses into your strength. So one of the good things about the fact that I grew up in such an environment with such bad food and bad nutrition is that now I'm still relatively young in my early 30s. I have basically solved my nutrition dilemma for the rest of my life. Whereas I think that if I hadn't grown up in such a toxic environment, I would have been slowly poisoning myself for years and years and years and years and years to come. So sometimes your greatest weaknesses actually lead to your biggest lessons, your biggest shifts in consciousness. And then from those, you mature and you grow and you actually become wise beyond your years. So stick around with me. I'll have probably more recipes for you in the future, like I said, of some of this healthy, quick, efficient stuff that I make for myself. And so I'll probably be posting those, not immediately next week, but like throughout the year, sprinkle those in here and there.